Well, please open your Bibles with me to the letter of James, James chapter 5 and verses 1 to 6. James chapter 5 verses 1 through 6. And as we get ready for our next instalment, I think it's reasonable to say that our society is full of warnings. Now, whether we pay attention to these warnings is another matter, but nevertheless, I think our generalization holds. From lights on car wing mirrors to show the driver that there is a road user in their blind spot, to product warnings on children's toys like harmful if swallowed, even if it is a large tractor or large doll, society is full of warnings intended for our good. But when it comes to the eternal destination of the never-dying soul, society is largely silent. People would rather not talk about things like that. Indeed, society actively seeks to control and shut down those who give warning of God's impending judgments. And yet, the Bible, God's word, is full of warnings about what shall happen to those who refuse to submit their lives to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior. God warns humanity that there is a day coming when all of us shall give an account to him. From prime ministers to those on the plow, everyone will have to give testimony to God. And speaking of those who have power, or more broadly, speaking of the wealthy who we find in this world, James is greatly concerned for this group. And so much so that in our verses for this evening, James warns the wealthy and condemns those who exploit others. Now, in terms of our background, we are well established. James is, in the middle of the first century, urging Christian Jews to stick with Jesus' gospel and humbly agree with the word of God planted in them by the goodness and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And in between times, James has also had some things to say to those who are blessed with earthly wealth. In chapter 1 and verses 10 through 11, James said that the rich person must do the opposite of what the world does. James said that the rich person must boast in Christ's sacrifice for sin rather than boasting about their personal wealth. Because just as the sun rises and scorches the flowers of the field, likewise, the rich man or the rich woman will have their moment, and then they too shall fade away from this world. And then in chapter 2, in verses 6 through 7, James spoke about some rich people who had hauled believers into court and sought to dishonor the name of Jesus. And as we come to our text for this evening, James speaks directly to rich people wherever they are found. And as James speaks, James warns them in strong and vivid terms. James speaks with the tone and tenor of an Old Testament prophet. James describes what will happen to wealthy people who do not trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. At verse 1, James says, can you see it there in your Bibles? Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. So just as James insisted on being heard or listened to in chapter 4 and verse 13, likewise chapter 5 and verse 1, where James says, come now, James is saying, please, please listen to me. And as verse 1 goes on, James tells the unrepentant rich person that they shall weep with howling because of the eternal misery that is going to be associated with their lives in all eternity. Getting into this some more, at a time appointed by the Lord, a profound reversal will be experienced. the girt, lush life of overindulgence and exploitation, it will be shattered, it will be taken away. A very privileged group may well point to being rich in the present. However, there is a day coming when their material wealth shall be rendered useless. We see this announced and then described at verses 2 and 3. At verses 2 to 3, James warns, please follow, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. But dealing with the descriptive terms at verse 2, terms that speak to Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 21 about the folly of placing trust and confidence in man-made things as opposed to the eternal word of God. In James chapter 5 and verse 2, James warns the unrepentant rich that what they have placed their hope in shall fail them on the day of judgment. In a threefold statement, James first says that everything that has in effect filled the life of the rich person, it shall in the end prove to be useless. Sure, the abundance of possessions and wealth brought smiles and great advancement in this life, but those stores on earth are without meaningful foundations. Indeed, last part of verse 2 now, the things that the rich person used to show others that they were a cut above the rest, their clothing, for example, those designer labels and great fashion brands, well, their fine clothes will do nothing for them when they stand before their Maker. In the same way that a person says, oh no, when they open their wardrobe and discover that a family of moth larvae have been eating their clothes that have been made from natural fibers like silk and wool or cashmere, likewise, in eternity, the unrepentant rich person will be full of regret, full of oh no's, when they realize that the things that they have been using in this world to project themselves and get social media likes, they shall be full of regret when they realize that all these things count for nothing before God. Indeed, at verse 3 now, their very best, their gold and their silver, all of it proves to be worthless in eternity when it's held before the one true and living God and judged. Exploring the language here, just as rust on precious objects in this life devalues them, so they experience the same when they stand before their Lord and their Maker. Their life and what it was based on, it's of no personal value in all eternity. And finishing off verse 3 now, the greedy gains and hoardings of this life shall bring the worst experiences in the life that is to come. End of verse 3 again. Their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Opening this, the life of the unrepentant rich man or the life of the unrepentant rich woman will be in God's court irrefutable evidence. Evidence that will feed the worm that never dies, and they shall have no rest while the smoke of their torment rises forever in the presence of the Lamb and his holy angels. And having used James's teaching to pad out the first part of our theme for this evening, having considered James's warning to the unrepentant rich man or woman, we shall now listen to James's teaching about the rich who have made their wealth or added to their wealth by exploiting the weak and the vulnerable. Can we see it, verse 4? James writes, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. What a charge to be presented with. Laborers, plural, have together mowed the feed or cut the grain and brought it in and stored it safely as agreed and discussed. But some of these wealthy landowners have declined to pay the workforce. Exploring this, they have robbed their staff of what they are owed. And in verse 4, James says that as those unused wages sit in the landowner's safe, those wages, metaphorically speaking, cry out raven-like against the wealthy landowner. The idea being that when a raven squawks loudly from its tree, and we can all imagine in our minds what that sounds like and looks like, well, so too those unused wages in that safe or safe place. Those ill-gotten gains shout out in accusatory terms every time the landowner opens the door to their safe. And just like the previous warnings at verses 1 through 3, just as some rich people think everything's okay and they're fine, but they are not, so also the wealthy landowner who has defrauded his or her workforce. They might be able to pop on a set of noise-cancelling headphones and block some people from their social media platforms. Various people complaining about their lack of pay, well, it's like water running off a duck's back. They are impervious to those cries of concern. But, says James, those cries of distress and despair from those who have been denied what is rightfully theirs, those cries shall not be blocked. Those cries shall not be missed by the Lord of hosts. Notice that title. That is, the one who is in charge of heaven's armies has heard the cries of those desperate workers. The ultimate warrior king has been given a specific intelligence report, and he will ensure that this injustice is dealt with, if not in this life, certainly in the life that is to come. And as we land at verse 5 now, James bears down on the actions of some that lead to God's eternal condemnation. James tells these corrupt landowners who have stolen from their workforce that, can you see it there, you have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. Addressing verse 5, I think the first half of verse 5 stands up on its own. We don't need to further explain that part of verse 5. These wealthy thieves have enjoyed a jet-set lifestyle. However, and the second part of verse 5 now, they have enjoyed a jet-set lifestyle with no regard to what comes next. For sure, as they milk the fat of the land to their advantage, they have had the best of everything. They have appeared on the front page of that socialite magazine. They get that booking somehow when there are no bookings available. They have been to places in the world that we have to Google because we don't know where those places are. But in it all, they have made a dreadful mistake. They have chosen to ignore what the one true and living Lord God says about his glory and their need of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Consequently, and we see this mentioned at the end of verse 5, everything gets turned around. Everything gets turned around and lands on their heads at the end. They themselves become like livestock that is ready for the abattoir. In their spiritual deadness, a terrible day of judgment is coming down the line to them. They shall receive on their own heads a precise punishment for their behavior and their activity in this life. Verse 6, can you follow? You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. summed up to the unrepentant wealthy landowner who has robbed their workforce, or James is clear, just as you destroyed them and denied them, likewise, you too shall know destruction. Just as you towered over those who were weaker than you, so one day you too shall be dwarfed by the glory of God. You shall not be able to resist. You shall be condemned by the Lord to eternal punishment in hell. Well, having walked through our text for this evening, how might we make further applications? Well, to anyone listening to this who is, on account of their wealth, living in ways that are contrary to Jesus Christ and his gospel, all of us, we have all been warned by the word of God. Sure, when we have the gold and the silver of this life, we do feel invincible. Nothing is too great for us when we have that spending power to hand. Lots of money takes us to different places and different experiences. But in the end, the wealth of this world will not save us from hell if we are found to be without saving faith in Jesus Christ and living in accordance with his gospel. The word is clear. For all who reject Christ, for all who reckon on the wealth of this world, well, we have been told we shall spend eternity agonized by regret and overwhelmed by unimaginable, indescribable despair. Is there anything else we might say? Well, if we own a business, or if we have agreed to pay someone for services rendered, with all things being equal, and with a job being done in accordance with our expectations, have we paid the person concerned? Have we paid that member of staff who's owed that money? Have we dealt with that invoice that we have received? If we have fallen into the habit of inappropriately holding back what is owed, well, the word tells us the Lord of hosts, he knows. Quite something to take in. And as we consider that, why would any of us want to provoke a warrior king like that? Did he hold back when he sent his son Jesus to the cross to pay the price for our sins? What else? Well, let's go the other way now. Let's think about those of us who have been or who are being exploited by unrepentant, wealthy employers. We know we are owed something, but it is being unlawfully held back. We're being denied it. And it is, yes, it's worrying. It's insulting. It saps our morale. We have to face up going to work the next day knowing that things aren't right, that we're not being treated properly. It can jeopardize our ability to get by week on week. It could even put our family at risk. But know this, brothers and sisters, if this describes something that you've gone through, something that you are going through, there is a day coming to employers that we've just described, those employers who exploit their workforce. There's a day coming to them the like of which they do not understand. What gets overlooked and deliberately missed in this life will not be missed or overlooked in the life that is to come. Brother, sister, your case shall be heard and concluded in God's courtroom. And at Christ's bar, those employers who have stolen from you and from your colleagues will find themselves to be like stunned animals lining up in an abattoir. What else? Well, as we finish now, while James has taken aim at the unrepentant rich of this world, as the body of Christ, generally speaking, I'd like us to take these closing moments and look again generally at our attitude to those who have more than we do. In preparing these notes, I googled the wealth of a well-known entrepreneur in the world of business and learned that they were being valued on that day at $485.3 billion. It goes up and down, apparently, which I find to be quite exciting as I'm on the outside and looking in. You know, will they make it to $500 billion by the end of the week and other things like that? And whilst this person uses their money for a whole range of projects and investigations and, yes, good causes, indeed, I'm told that this person is a cultural Christian. But having said all of that, unless God the Father in grace and in mercy draws this person in the power of the Holy Spirit to his side, and indeed others of similar standing in this world, drawn by the Spirit to faith in Christ, by that washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit, unless the Lord in mercy lifts that veil from this person's eyes, unblocks their ears, and graciously gives them a soft heart to receive the gospel, then all that is to come for the unsaved billionaires of this life is miserable weeping and howling in eternity that is to come. Outer darkness, gnashing teeth in the lake of fire. And so my point is this, brothers and sisters, why are there times when we struggle with what others appear to have over and above our lives? Lives that the living Lord God has ordained and appointed. No detail missed, nothing overlooked. We are exactly where we are to be in accordance with the purposes and plans of the Lord. People who are presently rich but who are spiritually poor before Jesus, they only have a miserable eternity coming to them. Therefore, let's ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help us by the Spirit kick out of our lives that jealous heart that is conflicted by transient things that do not save us, that serve us no purpose in eternity that is coming down the line to all of us. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to help us by his Spirit kick out of our lives a resentful heart that has stopped focusing on what our Saviour values to see and hear amongst his people. Because, as Jesus teaches, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we stop and think carefully in the right spirit as it's afforded to us, as we stop and think carefully for the Lord, surely we know deep down the grace and the compassion and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in all eternity in the glory of heaven, yet the word tells us for our sake he became poor. He entered this fallen world, the very stamp and image of God, so that we, by his poverty, a reference to Jesus Christ stretched out on the cross at Calvary, suffering in agony and in shame, so that we, by his poverty at Calvary, might become rich. Rich in Christ right now, rich in Christ forever, where thieves cannot break in and steal, where moth and rust do not destroy. And may he add his own blessing to this word. Amen.